Good morning. So nice to be with you. I go out to many different churches across Oregon and representing Better Life. And you truly, Roseburg, are one of our anchors, our mainstays. Bless you, thank you. And so many of you, I've had the privilege of going in your home, multiples of you, and helping you avoid some headaches now and in the future. And I thank you for those invitations, and I look forward to many more opportunities. I actually know some people here a bit. Brother Kearns from my hometown of Akron, did me so good to see him some months back when Brother Rosenberg was preaching here. And I said to myself, could anything good come out of Akron, Ohio? But and he was also a parishioner of mine back in Gentry. And then, of course, Sandra Haynes and her dear sister were college classmates at Southern 100 years ago. And I'll never forget her mama. Down south we say mama. Her mother brought up special, tremendous containers of homemade New Orleans chili for our senior graduating class. And I thought, wow, what kind of parent would do that? And, you know, she's from New Orleans. I came to like New Orleans. I married a girl from New Orleans. My dear wife is there. But somebody very special here today. I never think of this couple without the hard times I know they've gone through and the fun times they've had serving the Lord. And I never think of them. I saw their face when it didn't have a smile on it and they were wrestling with things and leadership. But I never think of that couple without seeing big smiles on their face. And that's Dave and Sherry May and their sweet children, and what playmates they were with my kids back in the days of Gentry, riding horses under trees and grabbing limbs and holding on, and the horse knew enough to come around and let them get back on. That's pretty neat. Well, it is nice to be with you. We're going to open God's Word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that as we share from your Word today, that your Holy Spirit will meet with us and speak to each of our hearts. Be here with your Holy Spirit and your angels. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. How many times has it brought comfort to me, that text? And I've shared it with people facing big trouble, and it's brought courage and hope to them. You know, when Jesus taught, he often taught by asking questions. As your speaker, you're used to the person up front doing most of the talking, and I certainly will today. But I am going to ask you a very simple, direct, forward question. No hidden agenda, no tricks. And I want you to think about my question. And I know there's a number of you that can and should be responding to this question. I'm going to give you time to speak a moment this morning. And when you answer that question and respond to it, you are going to help me preach my sermon, and you are going to, I promise you, be a blessing to other people in this congregation today. God will use you. Here's the question. What do you think of when you hear the word peace? Not a piece of pie, but peace, P-E-A-C-E. What do you think of? What memories come to you? What moments in life? What feelings? Think about that a moment. Peace. Share with me. I'm giving you this opportunity. You said calmness? Mm-hmm. Certainly, calmness. She said she was given a Bible that had the words, "Peace be unto you," and it touched her. It got through to her. There's power in God's word. Just the naked word of God, there's power in God's word, like nothing else in the world. Amen. Others, peace. What are the memories, the thoughts? Here's a hand. That's a powerful testimony, and it's not made up. That's from the heart. She knew there was a resurrection.
Amen.
And she knew there was someone that loved her little grandchild more than she did that was going to be there. Many of you have stories to tell. Some of them may be almost too hard to tell. But I want you to share with me. Here's a hand. Freedom. Thank you. We're going to touch on all these in the sermon, everything you've said. Being baptized, being one with the Lord. Amen. Here's a little child back there with his hand up. Yes? Knowing God has saved you. Praise the Lord. That little boy preached a sermon here, didn't he? Thank you, brother. Thank you. Some other hands? Here's a hand. A river. I like that. Do you know the Lord's servant in the ministry of healing, when talking about peace, and David, the great psalmist, time and again talks about the calm of water. Now, I'm not being funny, but there is power in water in many ways. And for a fact, one reason a lot of people like to go fishing is because it's calming. There's a soothing effect there. David speaks of it. There's the Lord's servant speaks of it. Yeah. Right here. Knowing he will never leave us or forsake us. I'm never alone. I am never alone. Power in that. Yes. Thank you. You folks are preaching. Yes. Oh, wow. Boy. Thank you, Lord. What would we do without that, all of us? Even, did you hear that? Even though he knows everything about me, he still loves me. Wow. Powerful, powerful. Sister, right here. Amen. Amen. The assurance of you're a part of something bigger than you. Right here, there's a hand. Right here. Who? Yes. God what? God and her mother's unconditional love. Thank you for good parents, huh? Yeah. No peace without acceptance. Brother, right here. Good. Right out of the dictionary. Right out of the Bible. Yeah, both. Say just that. Yeah. Here. Oh, the Bible talks about that. He says, take my yoke upon me. upon you. He wants us to know that he's right there with us, pulling the load. Yeah, yeah, that's good. Well, we got a lot of preachers here. Anybody else want to share quickly? I didn't say, oh, over here, lady in white. That's what my wife sang about, and that's that hymn we sang. There's a peace that passes understanding. Anybody else? All right. I don't want to leave you out. Let me tell you. The dictionary says these things. Tranquil, serene, secure, opposite of war and contention, safe, fulfilled, needs met, quiet, satisfied, stability, protection, calm, nature. Always when you're talking about nature, it's God's second book, and you mention the water and many other things in nature bring a calm and a peace and a healing to people that nothing else can. A state of law and order, this is Webster speaking, a pact or agreement to end hostilities, a greeting or farewell. Several times I've had the opportunity to be in the Middle East, Israel, Jordan, Turkey, such countries, and their common greeting is shalom. You know that shalom means peace. What a nice way to be greeted. I really enjoyed that. I liked that. People would come up to me and say, shalom. And I realized they were saying peace. And I like that. That's better than what we do over here, isn't it? In our country. That's good. At one and reconciled. Webster says exactly what our brother did back here. At one are reconciled. Friends, I want to tell you a little story. A Chinese farmer was walking along a road carrying a jar of soup suspended on a stick over his shoulder. You know, much of the world, they carry things on their head and cross their shoulder, and much of the third world, they carry things on a stick. And you know, you can carry quite a heavy load quite easily on your shoulder, and you can have a lot of control and leverage over that, moving your hand forward or back, controlling that thing. And he was carrying a stick over his shoulder, carrying a load like so many of them do. And it had a jar of soup attached to a hook-like on the back, which I've seen them do in Peru and over in the Middle East and Egypt and these countries. And he was in a crowd, and somebody jostled against him. Those things are quite secure, you'd be surprised, but they jostled against him somehow just right, and he lost control here. It wasn't back there, but he lost control here, and it was knocked off the stick and broken. The soup hit the ground, spilled, the jar was broken. Complacent farmer walked calmly on his way, without even so much as looking back. An interested bystander inquired, "Sir, don't you know that your jar of soup was knocked off the stick?" "Oh, yes," answered the farmer, smiling. "I know it. I heard it drop." "But why don't you stop and do something about it?" "The jar is broken, isn't it?" "Yes," replied the surprised man. "The soup is spilled, isn't it?" the farmer asked. "Yes, the soup is spilled." "But why don't you stop and do something about it?" asked the stranger impatiently. "What can I do about it? The jug is broken, the soup is spilled, and nothing can restore them." Friends, you and I, as we walk along life's way, we all have some moments when there's broken jars of soup, don't we? Yeah. And we'll have some more of them. You can be sure of that. I love his answer, and it's the point of the whole sermon. "At the end of my journey, I have a home and a well-set table. I have no time to look back at a broken jug and spilled soup." Each of us are on a journey. Each of us are on a journey, life's journey. There's going to be spilled soup. We don't have time to look back. That's what Paul says. "Forgetting those things that are behind, I press towards the mark." And friends, I want you to know, Revelation 19 says exactly that. It says, we have a home and a well-prepared table. Do you know that? Do you know that? There's a home and a well-prepared table for you. It says there's going to be a great feast, a great banquet in honor of you. You know, through my life growing up, I keep growing in the Lord, but early on, it's very macho, and I thought weddings were kind of a lot of wasteless ado beyond the facts. And the older I became, the more I saw why all the other in the wedding. But I want to tell you, what was it back in the 80s when Princess Diana and Charles got married? I saw that on television. And I just was awesome, blown away, just, I couldn't believe. And I thought to myself as I saw that, only somebody that's a monarch, a king and a queen, the wealth of a whole nation behind you could do anything like that. And the setting, the place, it was so beautiful, it was so dignified, it was so marvelous, so grandeur, so ostentatious, and yet there was meaning to it. Fortunately, in their hearts, things weren't right, unfortunately. But when I saw that, I thought, Lord, you tell me in the scriptures, one day, nothing man can do can match heaven. One day, there's going to be an occasion like that for you. For you. It's all about you. You're going to be the star. We're going to be there. And it's all about the redeemed, us being there. There's going to be a great wedding banquet. She said, Yahoo. And she's got to be past 16. I like that. Friends, in the Bible, it talks many times, and I could tell you many stories that bring out about peace. I've been touched briefly on one. Jesus had a hard day. He was exhausted from the crowds. His physical humanity was spent. He was tired. He was fatigued. He needed rest. And he told the disciples, let's get in the boat and push off. We got to get away from the people. We need to rest. There is the time to come apart. And there's a beautiful chapter in that special book, Desire of Ages. It's entitled, Come Apart. If you don't come apart, you will come apart. Really. God wants us to live a balanced life. Now, he pushes off in the sea, and as can happen there in that sea, he goes to sleep. But as can happen in that body of water, the way those mountains are, storms can come up very quickly, very suddenly. I saw one, I saw it happen just so quickly. And that calm Sea of Galilee had 6-7 foot waves. That's not like the ocean, but in the little boats they were in, that was dangerous. And they were being tossed to and fro. He was still asleep. He was so spent. And they yelled at him. And he awakened. And they said, "Save us." And he just waved his hand and he said, "Peace, be still." I remind you of that incident in the Bible because we need to know with the things that happen to all of us in life that there is somebody bigger than any problem. He has control over all nature. He is the creator, the life giver, the sustainer, the answer to every need. And some of us are really tossed at times and battered. And some of us are really afraid at times. Some of you have heard recently of troublesome things in your life. In Steps to Christ, I love that book, page 86. These words, "He knows and notices and controls all. If we fully believed, there would be less anxiety and disappointment and a rest of soul many have been a stranger to." You know, your church does something and you promoted it this morning right there on your television screen to the congregation. You're having a nice health outreach seminar. It's the one Hans Diehl started. CHIP program. Yeah, CHIP. And that's an incredible program. But you know, I come through this town a lot in my car. And you're right here on the main drag. This is a great location. And when I drive by here, you know, it may be at night or it may be 10 in the morning, a Tuesday or a Thursday or whatever, and you know, nothing maybe going on. But I always look at the church and I see your marquee out front, your billboard. And I say, "Oh, good, they're doing this. Oh, good, they're doing that." You know, nice outreach programs to touch people that are non-threatening. I love that. I love that. You're involving your own members and touching the community. And we have something to offer, others don't. But you know, when I was a pastor, I still am, but I mean when I had my own church and was actually the pastor of that church, one particular program I especially pushed, I liked our people to put on. If they wouldn't, I would, but I'd always get them to do it because I got too much to do and it makes them grow spiritually. And that is a stress seminar. You know, I had a hidden agenda that time because nobody needed those stress seminars more than me. It's stressful being a pastor. Your pastor needs your love and prayers and support. But when we would do those stress seminars, I was always blessed, whether I was leading out or I was just attending. And it helped many people. And there's so many things that happen in life. Some of you heard just this week, I was listening to your leadership here before we came out on the platform. Some of your members just heard this week they have a life-threatening disease. Some of you aren't meeting your bills. You're in a financial crisis. Some of you wonder why your children have gone the direction they have. It wasn't the way they were raised. What did you do to deserve this? You tried so hard. There's all kinds of things happen in life. Some of you are struggling in your marriage. And they wear on us. Many things are touched on when you give a stress seminar. Exercise, proper diet, avoiding wrong stimulants, caffeine, tobacco, too much sugar. And life is just full of unavoidable stuff that produces stress. Stress needs to be dealt with. It can produce almost any and every disease known to man, physically or mentally. all kinds of disorders imaginable. The single most effective with all the things you learn in a stress seminar, and some people pay big money to go to these. The single most effective stress management tool that I can share with you is to deliberately place your life in God's hands. A surrendered life finds peace in the midst of stress simply because it is now God's life to control. Are you aware the single most requested medication of doctors by their patients? What would you guess? I have. Thank you for your comment. Really, thank you. You're on target. I have four doctors in my family, immediate family. And I asked them on different occasions when they were around each other, I said, what medication or medication are requested of you or you prescribe most frequently? None of them knew what the other said at different times and different occasions. They all gave me the same answer. I knew they would, but I wanted to hear it from them. And this is where the pharmacies make their big bucks. It's all about sedatives, sleeping pills, relaxants. And most of them are produced by stress, the factor that's wanting them to have this. People lack peace. People are troubled. People want peace. They battle the results of not having it in all kinds of ways in their life, and it affects everybody about them. It takes a toll on the body, the family, at work, on the church, the nation. All of life in society is affected when people do not have peace and when people are stressed. And that's why the 24th chapter of Matthew and 21st chapter of Luke says men's hearts, yes, failing them for fear. That's a lack of peace, friends. That's a lack of peace. Now, I want to actually share numerous verses that tell us a lot about this, Bible verses. John 16:33, my peace I give you, not as the world giveth, giveth I unto you, for I've overcome the world. The greatest musical piece that has ever been written, hands down, the world acknowledges, the greatest musical score, the greatest musical piece ever written, Handel's Messiah. Right at the heart of that great anthem, right at the heart of it, you know those words, wonderful, counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father. And then it says, Prince of Peace. The heart of that great song is about that. Isaiah 9:6 is quoted directly there by Handel. Isaiah 32:17, it says, the fruit of righteousness or right doing will be peace. God says, if you'd have paid attention to my commandments. Isaiah 48:18, he says, if you would paid attention to my commandments, your peace would be like the sister here said, like a river, it's calm, it's got depth, it's steady. There's assurance, security in Christ that is not found in anything in the world. In Isaiah 54:10, he says, I have a covenant of peace with you. He says, I've got a compact, a deal. He says, it's the gospel of peace. He says, he himself is our peace. Now, the flip side of the coin, the Bible talks about that. Isaiah 57:20. But the wicked are like the tossing sea, which cannot rest, whose waves cast up mire and mud. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. Pretty plain, isn't it? With God, there's peace. Without Him, there is trouble. Yes. You know, we are living in the end of time. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that. We are living in the great antitypical day of judgment. And all about the great day of atonement in the Bible, it was talking about people, a holy people, putting sin aside, repentant, down on their knees, wanting to be ready, everything right with the Lord. And when you stop and think about that, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. A holy people. Listen to the words in Isaiah 32. The work, 32:17, the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. I had an experience as a teenager. For years I would never have told this. I guess I'm old enough now to tell it. As a little boy growing up, my mom, my sisters, they kissed me on the cheek, they kissed me on the forehead. I even remember my one sister kissing me on the hand. I remember my dad kissing me on the forehead. And that's what I knew about kisses. I was about 15, 16 years old, and with a group of people at a gathering there at the high school, kind of on the edge of the crowd, had no clue, was not suspecting this, a pretty girl walked up to me my age. She was beautiful. She walked up to me, and she kissed me. Right on the lips, big time. Out of the blue, I was not prepared for this. I was stunned, I was shocked, I was paralyzed, I was excited, I was happy, I was embarrassed. I didn't know what to do at all. I was almost helpless. And I walked away from there, wow, you know. I didn't really know her. I recognized the face. I think the Lord let that happen for a reason. Because I was studying the Voice of Prophecy Bible lessons as a young man, learning so many marvelous things. And I went home. It was either that night or the next night. I was going over those lessons. And I read this verse in Psalms 85, verse 10. It said, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. And I thought, wow. I realized that was a cheap kiss. Even as a kid, I realized that was exciting. It was thrilling. But I realized there's no relationship. We don't know each other. That was a cheap kiss. But I realized what a kiss could mean. And in the right context, and I realized God wants to kiss me with peace and righteousness. In some translations, it says mercy and truth have kissed each other. And it really touched my heart. And I said, God, I need that kind of life. I don't have that kind of life. And that kind of life, it does bring happiness. And it brings security. And it's a marriage that's not cheap. And it's beautiful and it's precious. It's invaluable. The Lord spoke to me through a careless girl's kiss with the Holy Scriptures. And God has ways of doing that in each of our lives, doesn't He? In Psalms 119, verse 165, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible, it says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." In some translations it says, "Nothing will make them stumble." They have you. They're going to hold on to you. "Great peace have they which love thy law." Friends, there is never peace unless there is law and order. It's impossible to have peace in society, out there in life, and spiritually in our lives. Unless God has written his law in your heart, you're a phony Christian. Did you hear what I said? If you love Jesus, you love his law. They are inseparable. And I am so sorry much of the evangelical world tries to separate the two. You can never have confession, forgiveness, and reconciliation unless you know what you've done and identify sin. I pray that many of our brothers and sisters in other faiths will uphold God's law with the cross. The two need to be preached together. Now listen, without law, there's no peace. Without law and order, you have a lawless society. It breeds chaos, disorder, fear, crime, murder, hate, thieving, heartbreak. That's what we saw in Ferguson this past year. That's what we saw in Baltimore. When there is not law and order, there is no chance for peace. When you have people that do not respect authority, when you come to know God, you respect authority. James says, "The wicked are like troubled, tossing miry waves in the sea." Now, friends, peace is man's highest hope. Living for God since sin has come to this world, can you see more than ever why it's important that right at the heart of God's law, that he has given us a special burden to preach? In this world of chaos and trouble, he gives us in these last days a Sabbath. He gives us a Sabbath because he wants us to know a holy God and a holy people have peace. They have law and order. They have righteousness. They've experienced the kiss of salvation. I want to tell you something that's quite different from what I've just been saying. There are people in life that you can't reason with. You can't reason with somebody that's unreasonable. I mean, you know, they don't respect anyone else. They don't respect authority. It's their way or nothing. Get out of my way. They have no concept of free will. Nothing is precious to them but what they want to do at the moment. And when people start thinking like that, they become deranged. They become crazy. They are a class of people that the judicial system calls incorrigible. These are the people that are the ISIS suicide bombers, people that publicly behead others to make a point about you should believe their religious views or they'll cut off your head. And not all Muslims are like that. I'm not attacking Muslims at all. I'm telling you, there are people that are deranged in their thinking. They are kamikazes. They are suicide bombers. They're killers in malls. They are killers that come into schoolyards. And there is a time that you have to make war to have peace. That's a fact. And God wants us to be peacemakers, but there is a time when force is appropriate and proper. And the Bible tells us there will be a final war. And it tells us that the Lamb of God, who could be more peaceful and gentle, turns into, you know, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And ultimately, to have peace, he will have to destroy those that will not appreciate righteousness and law and order. And they will finally be annihilated and destroyed so that there can be peace. And that is our peacemaker, the Prince of Peace, that does that. People get the idea peace means there can never be any strong force or boundary, and that's false. When somebody's in the mall with a handgun wantonly taking lives, somebody has to take them down. Yeah. At the end of our journey, friends, I want you to know we have a home. It's warm, it's friendly, it's full of love, it's beautiful. At the end of our journey, I want you to know we have a home and a well-set table. Praise God.